Hello, listeners. This is Janine.
And Stephanie.
And we're back for the Course of Course episode number 14. Can you believe we've gone that far?
Wow.
I know. When I was editing 13, I thought, oh my gosh, that's 13 weeks we've been doing this kind of uninterrupted. So for you dreamers out there, you may hear some pauses back and forth. We are going through our own experience with our microphones. So hopefully we will get this resolved. But I'm thinking that this may be a blessed event and it may be the best podcast we've ever done, considering.
I would say it's part of the oneness theme that I've had for the last week. Why don't we just talk about that? So I've been considering wholeness and oneness and remembering at the end of time and looking back and trying to visualize the beginning of the separation and seeing these fractured selves and just loving them and forgiving them, and then seeing my brothers and sisters and their split selves and loving and forgiving them. And I do work in the movie business, and in a scene we have, it has to do with a house of mirrors. And I've always had a freaky thing about mirrors, especially like at my grandparents, when you can see yourself into infinity because they have mirrors all around. And that's kind of the visual I got at that moment when I was self-talking to myself of looking back, was this house of mirrors of all of ourselves. And I thought, okay, well, that's maybe where that fear comes from, but it's not real. And I'll just love it and forgive it.
One of the things that I kind of freak out about mirrors in this particular dream I'm having as Janine, when I go and not really expecting a mirror and I turn around, you can get this maybe at a mall, right? You're at Macy's and you turn around and there's like some full length mirror. And I used to always get like a shock, like, whoa, what's that about? Because there's so much with our ego kind of wrapped into our appearance. And having to self-reflect back that way, we tend to look in a mirror in the morning when we're getting ready for work or school or whatever. And we don't really look in a mirror that much. Maybe when we go to the bathroom, but that's about it. But you plan on it, right? So it's like, okay, I'm going to go see myself now. But when it happens unexpectedly, it's kind of a jolt to me. It's like, is this the face of God? What is going on?
Well, that was one element that I was playing with. The face of God, the love. Like, we're all seeing each other as refractions, because they keep talking about reflecting and who you see. They are us. We are God. That whole oneness thing has been blowing my mind. And I was thinking that last week was very internal. I got sick and I was pondering a lot. And this week, even though it's been a busy work week, I feel like the light has come. And there's some power in this undoing the ego. And there's some connection about where it started, because in the beginning, I think I was afraid to go to the beginning of where it started. I still keep thinking about that Alex Marchand image of the beginning and the end, and like, we're coming to the end. I feel like we're towards the end. This one or maybe the next one.
I like what you're talking about, kind of the whole oneness aspect of it. I had a situation at work yesterday where I had some woman who is fairly new to my area. She's been around for maybe a year, I guess. And so she was sitting across from me. She, I guess hierarchically, if you want to look at it that way, from an ego perspective, she's lower on the chain from me. But I don't really take too much credence into that. I'm only bringing it up because I think it's fascinating the way she was interacting with me. It was very ego. She was being very pushy. And I never really work well with that kind of energy, because personality-wise, I'm pretty calm. And I'm a Libra in this dream illusion, so I'm very much about fairness and treating people with respect. And I felt like she was really pushing my buttons. And I had to stop and go, okay, part of my lesson here is to see her as me and to love her for who she is. And not start doing that ego thing where you break someone down, like, oh, I don't like them. She's really pushy and, you know, who does she think she is? I know what I'm doing. I've been here a lot longer. She doesn't quite understand, and she's just trying to get her needs met. So for me, it's that slow process of stopping and recognizing what I'm doing and trying to turn it around. It's not that easy. But when you go back to the concept of oneness, she is me. And I have to remember that, especially when people in the work environment show up, at least I'm projecting them to show up as something completely opposite of me. It's retraining my mind to remember they're me and I'm them. We are one. It's that constant reminder, even though the ego is sitting on my shoulder like the devil angel thing, being like, oh no, don't listen to this. She doesn't respect you, that kind of thing.
I imagine this big light, like the space or something, and just becoming one with all of it. Like, we're just those fractions or those cells or those stars or whatever those little bits are in that universe, and just forgiving it all. I just feel like the ego is definitely very strong, but I feel like I'm starting to love the ego. I'm talking to the ego. I'm starting to say, hey, ego, you're a part of this too. You know, like all the fears and all the attack and all the guilt. I was thinking a little bit more about what do I want to have this year? And it's in the area of guilt. I want to be more conscious of when I'm feeling guilty and trying to transform that and not feel guilty. I have arthritis in my knees, like it makes it hard for gardening. And so I was thinking, what guilt am I holding in my mind that it's manifesting in my knees? And can I cure that with the help of the Holy Spirit by turning it over to the Holy Spirit? Which brings me to the free will thing, or the freedom of choice, which I think is interesting too, because I did a documentary with a public TV station once and it was called Freedom of Choice. Is that the free will is that we can choose how we see the world with the Holy Spirit or with the ego. And we're trained for it to be with the ego. But the more we keep choosing the Holy Spirit, I feel like I'm building credits in the bank or something, or I'm jumping over a wall. And the more that I build that, eventually the whole thing's just going to flip over.
I find the whole ego separation and the challenge on an everyday basis to be something that I'm definitely focusing on. We're talking in the last podcast about, you know, it's 2015, we're going to do different things. It's going to be a great year. And it is. I really do think it is. And it is, because 2015 is no different than 2014. It's just we are looking at it from kind of God's eyes, hopefully, or the Holy Spirit's eyes. So that indeed makes it kind of a holy year. But I do want to bring up something we talked off mic about. My significant other, I was with him last night, and he had said something about he wants 2015 to be the year of change. It's the year of change. So things are just inevitably going to change. We all go through the same types of things in this dream, you know, situations where we're dealing with work or home life or marriages or whatever. And if we stay the same, then we're not really growing. But changing from this kind of behavior pattern, as we know, trying to change into this concept of the Course in Miracles, oneness, and getting back to God and forgiveness is something we have to work on. It's not something we go, oh, okay, we're just going to do it. Like I mentioned before, when we first started getting into this, we did that thing where we just wrote everybody's name down and said, we forgive you, and thought that was going to be it, right? I think this is probably the first step of everybody when they start getting into the Course in Miracles. It's very sweet and optimistic, but it's not quite, I was going to say reality, but I know better now. The one thing I do want to talk about is Art and Person, who are the personalities in the future, dream lives in the future of Gary Renard and Cindy Renard. What I liked about their story, and Gary Renard talked about it in his first three books, I'm sure he'll have many, so I'll just say the first three, was the fact that they had already been married in that particular lifetime. They decided when they met each other, and I think they were in their 60s, that they wanted to honor their spouses and not get married again. But they had kind of transcended that whole thing. So they didn't put expectations on each other. And I'm currently in probably the first relationship I've ever had where very, very tentatively, I'm starting to see that change for me and not need what is more traditionally a boyfriend, a fiance, a husband. I really do think I am in a relationship where I have a companion, a true partner in kind of an emotional perspective. He's got his own stuff going on and that's totally fine. I'm okay with that. And it's taking me a while. And if it wasn't for the Course in Miracles, I would not be the amazing girlfriend I am to him. I don't know if he recognizes that. I'm sure he doesn't know at all that I'm even talking about him. I'm trying to keep his identity private for many reasons, but I really do see, I'm starting to see a definite change in how we're relating to each other and not having too much placed upon it and not get too stuck into that whole thing of, oh, this is my significant other, my husband, my whatever, as though we are pieces of ownership to one another and we're not. The feelings that we have for each other, it's holy. It's sacred and it's okay. And it's the first time I felt like I don't have to prove it to anybody, because there's a lot of people around that are very entrenched in traditional relationship concepts that would say to me, well, he's not a very good boyfriend because of X, or you should be doing this if you're a good girlfriend, that kind of stuff. I think we're moving into a space that it doesn't exist for us. So I hope, and I am inviting Jesus and the Holy Spirit into this human faith, that this continues and flourishes in this new definition of how the relationship is unfolding. And the honest truth is that he doesn't really know this is happening in my mind. It's just unfolding. That's why it's so impressive for me to kind of watch this happen.
That's a big one. I mean, letting go of how society tells us a relationship is supposed to be, labeling it. And those are all things of the ego, and it's everywhere. I mean, there's this whole set of rules that somehow were created in this dimension, and it's just tossing them all up in the air right now and thinking from the Holy Spirit's point of view, then there is no expectation or idea of how it's supposed to go, and just keep turning it over. That's one thing I've been trying to work on, letting go.
It feels like everything in third dimension is about relationships, how you're relating to someone else, whether it's a love, holy, you know, relationship, a special relationship, somebody at work, somebody at the gas station, whatever, right? It's just constant learning from all these things. And what the course basically says is they're all the same. There's nothing special in any of these. They're all the same because you are God in each of them. But we have a mutual acquaintance that we've talked about that is going through a relationship right now, and listening to her and giving her as much support as I can, I'm now seeing, like, she is teaching me from her example what I am looking toward in a relationship. I think we do learn from each other, and it's not always, oh, okay, I saw he, you know, jumped that hurdle, I'm going to jump that hurdle. Sometimes it's like, oh, well, okay, maybe I don't need to jump that hurdle. Maybe I can walk around it. So we're learning from each other in many different ways, and she is definitely been a bigger teaching lesson than I would have thought, actually. Hearing about her relationship and her successes, I guess, and struggles in it, and watching her from a distance go, oh, okay, I remember that. I remember that. And I remember how that felt. And now I can see from all these lessons that are occurring around in my life, what is leading me toward back to God? And what is leading me to ego?
Yeah, they say in every moment, truth or illusion. That just takes practice. I mean, it is a practice. It's a repetition. And I realize that's why I have all those sayings up around my house, is because when things are happening, I can pull those down, you know, and say like, oh, only God's laws pertain to this instant. Or I am one with my creator and powerless and limitless and peace. And those sentences are very helpful. And I think that it takes training, like it is. It's a mind training. It's an undoing self-study course, and I'm very grateful.
So you talked a little about your work the past week, and it was a little hectic. I know that you were working pretty late. Can you give us an example of, I loved your line that it's either truth or illusion. Can you give us an example of, just in broad strokes, what happened this week that you could use as an example for truth or illusion that showed up?
I do try to undo the ego and align with spirit as much as possible. In fact, sometimes I'll have little stints where I'll just repeat, I am spirit, I am spirit, I am spirit, I am spirit, I choose spirit, I choose spirit, like whatever my little mantra is. But sometimes when I'm in the shower and I'm washing my hair and I have soap and stuff, I'm afraid of falling and slipping and like dying. Like that's how I'm going to go out. I'm either going to go out slipping in the shower, or I'm going to go out choking on food or wine or something. I have choking attacks sometimes. I don't know what's up with that. But anyways, in the moment of being in the shower and like my ego running me in the moment and the fear, I just kept pulling down on the Holy Spirit, and then I just like demanded it. And when I closed my eyes, I saw this huge bright light, flash of light, and I definitely felt like instantly connected. And it just felt like a moment. Like I feel like I'm having more moments of connecting with spirit, and I can feel when I'm connected. It's a different kind of energy. It's a different buzz in my body.
I want to talk a little about the Yahoo discussion group that we both joined. This is a Disappearance of the Universe Yahoo discussion group. I think it's been going on for a very long time, the 2000s. The one thing I really like about this, and again, it's so great and so delicious being new to the course community, because everything's like, oh, great, look what we just found, right? But they started doing a course exercise a day for 365 days for 2015, right? So it's nice reliving some of these early ones. Now they're on 9, obviously, because today at the day of recording, actually the day of recording, where this is January 10th, so then the 10th one. But it's nice kind of knowing that there's a bunch of people reading it at the same time, and you know, I don't know. I just get a kick out of that. And I appreciate that they're starting from the beginning. I feel like I'm starting from the beginning in a way. But I also like the snippets, the nuggets that people who've been studying the course for a while are providing. And what I really love is the newbies who are saying, well, I don't really get this because it didn't quite make sense. Like they're very new, like we were, I guess, a year ago. And listening to some of these, you know, more advanced seekers giving answers that I find witty and relevant. I'm sure that those of you who are listening to this podcast are probably investigating other things, but I do want to say, look into that Yahoo discussion group on Disappearance of the Universe. Even if it's just a couple emails a day that you look at, there's always something that I was like, oh, okay, that's pretty good. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I've never been in a group before, so I didn't know how it happened. I thought I was going to be going to a web page and looking at different subjects or something, but I have been getting emails.
There was one post I thought was really good, and it was a woman saying that she had held the hand of her sister who was dying for like the last 2 weeks of her life. And before that, she was always kind of twisting stuff around. So the sister would say, oh, I had a really bad prognosis from the doctor. And she would say, oh, I'm so happy for you. Because the poster, the person who provided the reply to the discussion, basically said that she had just saw her sister pass away on Christmas Day and she felt jealous. Like, why can't I go back to God too? And so the discussion was really around that. And so this woman was saying that she was with her sister 2 weeks before she passed away. And they kept twisting it around. So anytime her sister would say to her, oh, the doctor said that things are looking good for me right now. And she said, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And it made them all laugh. It's like, this really is an illusion. Especially when it's talking about death and passing. We are so conditioned. We are so conditioned to think that death is terrible and it's, you know, the last thing and it's all blackness and, you know, we'll never see them again. And it's so not true. But it's very difficult to get through to people who all of their life have seen funerals that are so sad and people are crying and everybody wears black and it's like the worst thing ever, you know, and flipping it on its side and going, actually, if you really think about this, they are happier now. And I love that concept of we're all just traveling. So we're all on sort of like a really messed up vacation in third dimension Earth. And then when we're done with the vacation, we just go home. It's like, okay, well, I'll see you guys when you're done with your vacation. You know, this is not the destination. This is just the journey.
I've been listening to the podcast with Gary and Jean. I'm on 18. And they were talking about the in-between life and how there is that cycle of the birth and the death and the birth and death. And we just tend to jump back into the body. And I don't want to do that again if I can help it. I feel like I'm ready. I'm just going to be as diligent as I can in willing something to happen in this lifetime. Whatever it is, it's perfect. Like, it's all up to the Holy Spirit. I get that. And I'm just going to keep giving it up.
We talked in a couple of podcasts ago about the Billy Fingers book, The Afterlife of Billy Fingers. And what really juiced me up about that one is I had assumed that in order to transcend and go back to God, you had to have this perfect life. Your last lifetime is going to be perfect. And the Billy Fingers book, if you read it, spoiler alert, he goes back to God, but his last lifetime on earth wasn't what you would call picture perfect. And that really made me feel better because I feel like I'm struggling against, well, I didn't do this well enough. I remember Gary Renard mentioning before, you know, nobody really does a workbook perfectly, like, you know, because people start it and then they'll go, well, I didn't really do this lesson very well. And they feel like they have to start from the beginning. And it's all that failure stuff that we are confronted with. Right. But the Billy Fingers book really kind of drove home that it's okay. You don't have to be perfect. And I remember in some book, and I can't remember if it was an audio podcast or something, they were talking about Martin Luther King as being an ascended master and going back to God. And his lifetime on earth wasn't perfect. I mean, there were some issues with the family, and this was not somebody who was a saint on earth. But what he did overall was he was connected. I felt like the same way with Abraham Lincoln. There were some of these people that you can see and go, oh, got it, that might not have had these perfect lives, you know, that had stuff to forgive too. But even Art and Impersa, I have to assume, probably had some of those issues as well, where they were kind of working through it. They weren't saints, but they were able to, like, get to the point where it's like, okay, now I get it. I really think that God just wants us to come home and wants us to wake up. Actually, God doesn't know that we're asleep, right? But ultimately, the Holy Spirit just wants to help us get back to God. I don't think they're really taking that much of a report card on the fact that, you know, I could have been nicer to the guy at the gas station when I gave him my credit card. Whereas before, when I started this, I thought, oh no, I have to be perfect. And I was beating myself up about it because I thought, I'm never going to get back to God if I'm doing this stuff.
In the podcast, they were talking about how Helen died from cancer, which I didn't realize. And there's, I don't know if it's stigma is the right word, but there's this idea of if you get sick, like you've done something wrong, or there's some kind of guilt or something's wrong. Just that there's never anything wrong. That's part of that judgment thing again. The good and the bad and the duality of it all and how we are always judging things. I'm just trying to do less of that and being more forgiving of myself and maybe my own little hidden secrets and just be like, you know what? This is who I am. It doesn't matter. There's no good. There's no bad. It just is. Like, God is. I love that sentence. God is.
I get juiced up on little tiny victories. Like, if for one moment I don't react negatively, nicely, or I don't judge somebody. It's like, oh, okay, that's good. And then I start beating myself up when I start doing it. Even though that's been such a behavior pattern with me for so long, I'm now very sensitive to it. It will take me a while, but then I'll be like, wait a minute, why'd you do that? So I was talking about the woman at work that I was having an issue with. She was being very pushy. It took me a couple minutes, maybe five, I don't know, for me to go, hold on, she's you, she's God, it's okay, you know, we're gonna love her, even though she's reflecting back at me that I'm being pushy. So it's like having to kind of transcend my ego in that moment and be like, it's okay, I'm not gonna go into that judgment mode that I usually go to. I'm hoping that even though it's a slow go right now, after I get some momentum, it'll be a little easier. But I'm becoming far more grateful for the work environment that I've created, because it is one fantastic educational lesson in being able to go, okay, maybe I can use this right now to get past it, instead of running away, instead of condemning it and talking badly about the people around me. Really, a little slowly right now, getting to the point where I can go, okay, maybe I can do this in this lifetime. I feel like it's a stretch goal, but I really am so committed. We talked about being committed last time. We are both extremely committed to this.
At work, that was my slow burn person. And because our production's amping up big time, she's around a lot more. And so I have more opportunities to practice being forgiving in the moment and seeing innocence. And this person can walk into a room and the whole vibe changes. That's how powerful she is. I normally have an anticipation of anxiety, and just trying to, you know, reformat that, reprogram that in my brain by calling on the Holy Spirit, so that when she does arrive, it's altered. I can feel it. It is starting to alter. Like, we were pretty good with each other this last week in a way. Like, I see that whole relationship shifting and unfolding in a way that it has never been, which has to happen for me to be there and to be happy, because otherwise I was dying before and I was not well. I mean, the healing the mind part of this all, it really is a healing. There's just so many things that the ego has set up in us about anxieties and fears and these ideas of how it's supposed to be or what they're doing to us. It's pretty intense. And undoing all that, I feel, does take effort. It is simple, but it does take effort.
That is a great way to wrap this one up, Stephanie. Well done. So I just want to remind our dreamers out there, they can always reach us at thecourseofcourse.blogspot.com or thecourseofcourse.com. Again, we would love to have your questions. We'd love to answer them. It would be such a gift for us if we can start creating our own community of The Course of Course, and having the podcast is kind of the way that we can get back in touch with each other every week. So thank you again, dreamers. We look forward to having our time with you again in The Course of Course podcast episode 15 next week.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.